Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Chamber Orchestra of Europe. I'm Simon Mundy, and during these sessions I talk to the people who play in or have been important to the orchestra's life. In this episode I'm chatting to the oboist Rachel Frost, who also plays the cor anglais. Rachel has been part of COE for many years. Brought up in Northern England, she now lives in Germany. Rachel, let's talk about how you joined the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, because you've been there for, 29 years now?
That's correct. I first heard the Chamber Orchestra of Europe in a concert in the Barbican Centre, and I just finished studying at Cambridge and then music in Germany, the oboe, and I was really wowed by the orchestra. I recognised that it is a world-class ensemble. It was an electrifying concert. And as an oboe player, I was really mesmerised by Douglas Boyd's oboe playing. And I just thought in that moment, I felt, oh, it would be my dream to play with this chamber group. And by some trick of the gods, very shortly after that, the job was open for second oboe and cor anglais. And I had never met Dougie before. I actually didn't know anybody in the orchestra, really. And I did one tour on second oboe with a beautiful cor anglais solo, Sibelius, Pelleas and Melisande, and one tour on first oboe. And after that, Dougie said, would you like the job? And it was just a meeting of two souls, because we just connected straight away, musically, personally. It was a wonderful gift, actually, because I joined the orchestra and I was invited into the orchestra, and my career began playing with Dougie. And wherever he is in the world today, we still have contact. And obviously, since Dougie, I've been very privileged to sit next to François Leleux, Kai Frommgen, our latest fantastic oboist, Philippe Tendre, and play the low tones for them, create colours for them, support them, and play my own voice when the cor anglais is there or in wind chamber music.
Here's Rachel playing on cor anglais at the opening of the lovely second movement of Joaquin Rodrigo's Concierto de Aranjuez, with COE conducted by Rachel's old oboe colleague Douglas Boyd on Signum Classics. The guitar soloist is Charles Ramirez.
Thank you.
It's interesting because do you find there's a difference? So apart from Dougie, who's a good Scot, all the others are French and German. And is there a very different sound?
I think, actually, the sound is more the individual person. I think the sound is the sound you hear in your head that you wish to create. And it is, of course, full of all your emotions, your emotional colours, your feelings. I think at this level of playing, at the very top level, it's more their souls, their way of playing, than a difference between French or German.
Yes, I just wondered if coming from different traditions of how the oboe sounds, whether you feel you actually consciously have to match up and blend.
It's true that in the before my time, the days in the Berlin Philharmonic of Lothar Koch, the difference between the kind of sounds that were produced on an oboe were bigger then. In Germany, it was a thicker, darker, woodier sound. And in England, for example, Leon Goossen, he made a nasal, a bit lighter sound. But I think today the standard of wind playing, the perfection is so high and reed-making machines have improved. We get closer and closer to be able to play our own soul and to bridge all these gaps between different schools of playing and cultures.
Now take me through the oboe family, because you play both the oboe and the cor anglais, and then one thinks from the Baroque era of the oboe d'amore. And what for you is the difference between those different members of that family?
The oboe is obviously the highest range. She's very close to the human voice. Her little reed, double reed, the conical bore of the oboe, a very singing instrument. A bit more of a prima donna, I think, in general, than the cor anglais. And the cor anglais is more soulful. It's a bit deeper register. It's more like the viola of the oboe family. It's in the key of F. But it has some of the most passionate and beautiful solos that have been ever written. It's often a bit of a loner, a solo, everything sort of goes quiet in the orchestra, or you can be completely alone, or just with one thing happening on stage. And it often, a lot of the solos tell a story, are happening at a very dramatic moment. And the d'amore, I associate with Bach from all the cantatas. I think the d'amore sits between the oboe and the cor anglais and is, yes, an oboe of love. Oboe d'amour, yes, she's just very beautiful. And she bridges this middle range between the oboe and the cor anglais.
Do you play in Baroque groups with the d'amore at all?
I don't. I have to say I don't play Baroque because, I mean, I do play Baroque music, but on modern instruments, yes. Mm. Cantatas, and but I'm not a Baroque specialist, because in order to be a really good Baroque specialist, you have to make completely different reeds, you have different instruments, you play at a different pitch. But of course I play Bach and Zelenka and Vivaldi on my oboe, and I teach the students, and of course we always do Bach cantatas and arias because they're genius. It's genius writing.
Trio Rosso is a wind trio comprising Rachel, her husband clarinetist Ulf Guido Schäfer, and bassoonist Malte Refat. Here they are playing an excerpt from an arrangement of Prendero quel Brunettino from Mozart's Così fan tutte. It can be found on MDG Gold Records. Thank you. And more recently, when you've been playing the cor anglais, what are the pieces that you've most enjoyed playing with the orchestra?
I loved playing Swan of Tunella, but that's not so recent. That, because it's a near-perfect tone poem, it tells a little story from Finnish mythology where Tuonela is the land of the dead, but this swan is a spiritual swan and she's swimming along and she's singing this song. And I think the hero is meant to, in the mythology, he's meant to kill the swan, but he doesn't because her beauty is so sacred, her song is so sacred. And there's mixed stories about whether he gets shot by an arrow or whether he falls in the rapids of the waterfall. But whatever happens, it's all okay in the end because he's reborn. So it covers earth and spirit. And it was very beautiful to play that with Paavo Berglund because Finnish music is his music and it was in his blood. And of course, now the orchestra, we played many Sibelius symphonies with him. And we played in Finland Sibelius Symphony Cycle with Paavo. So I have very passionate memories of that. And then I loved playing the Rocketlieder at the Luzern Festival with Bernard Haitink because Bernard Haitink is an absolutely wonderful conductor, very fine, very noble, uncompromising, so that really we produce the best music, but very, very trusting of the orchestra. I love the Mahler Lieder. They are so beautiful for oboes and cor anglais. And particularly this one song, I Am Lost to the World. The cor anglais, the textual writing is just so central to the soul of the song. That's something I will always remember as one of my most special concerts, actually.
Now, when you look back on your years with the orchestra over the last 29 years, do you notice any changes in the way that the orchestra approaches the music, or indeed in your own section? Is there has there been a development, do you think, in the way that you as players approach the music at all?
I think I have watched players come and go on to other things in their lives, in whichever direction. Whether to become professors, whether to become conductors, whether to specialise on string quartet or whatever, or to take a different path in life. But I think that the excellence and the beauty and the love to music inside the orchestra has never changed. It's remained absolutely constant and absolutely at the forefront of this ensemble, which is what has kept me to playing in COE, because I obviously make chamber music outside COE. I have my own trio. I play my own voice elsewhere. But COE for me is very, very special because it's an utter privilege to play with conductors, players on stage, soloists of this class of music making, and with a common goal of trying to play music and realise its beauty as well as we are able within our human capacity.
Rachel, you've had a few adventures with the orchestra, haven't you?
More than a few.
Tell me a few of them. I mean, because there were times where you were touring with a fairly small group of the orchestra, not just the whole ensemble.
When I first joined the orchestra, one of my very first tours was a tour with the Wind Octet to South America, 3 weeks long. And there were seven men and myself. And only when I got on the plane, I kind of noticed that I was a little bit outnumbered. But they were very nice men, very nice colleagues. And that particular tour, we went to Peru and to Ecuador, Venezuela, Colombia. It was sponsored by the British Council as part of a cultural exchange. And obviously we played beautiful wind octets, Mozart E flat major, Mozart C minor, Beethoven wind octet. The wind octet has always been a very important ensemble. Also historically, Mozart had in his Don Giovanni opera, he had a wind octet on stage and they played quotations from his Marriage of Figaro opera. But on this particular tour, we also had quite a few adventures. And One, I remember, was because it's the only time that I have packed my suitcase very early in the morning by candlelight, because in Lima at that time there were electricity shortages. And there was also a terrorist group, the Shining Path, it's a long time ago, and curfew in the evenings on the streets. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, before an early flight, I heard this really loud banging on my door. And I was lying in bed and I thought, I don't think this is the Shining Path. I'm going to get up and open my door. And when I opened it, there was a man from the hotel with just a single candle lit that he gave to me, because it was so dark, there was no electricity. So I went round my room and I packed my suitcase and we went down to the lobby to wait for our early morning flight. And I do remember Richard Hosford, our first clarinet player and dear friend of mine, who's also solo clarinet in the BBC Symphony Orchestra, I do remember his comment in the lobby saying, it's much safer in the BBC, as we were all waiting for a minivan to pick us up. And I also remember that when we were in Ecuador, in Quito, which is about 3,000 metres high in the Andes, they were worried that we might feel a bit dizzy playing wind octet where the air is thinner. And so they had organized firemen with oxygen tanks who were in their gear backstage. And they were just there for us in case we were going to feel dizzy. But we were all right. But I've never, that was another new experience. I've never experienced that again.
It's quite a nice idea, actually, going yeah. backstage for a quick burst of pure oxygen.
Oh, there's too many adventures to tell. With the whole orchestra, I do remember András Schiff, a dear friend of the orchestra, of course, absolute amazing artist, piano player. He has been very generous to the orchestra, invited us to a lot of parties in his time. But I do remember things like one evening when we were in the Alfama in Lisbon in Portugal, and we were there till nearly 4 a.m. with people singing Fado. And incredibly wonderful experience. And I think we all have tales to tell.
I think the bottom line is one joins an orchestra for the parties as much as the playing.
Of course.
And that actually is something that the Chamber Orchestra of Europe is special about, isn't it? Because you're coming from all over the continent and you're there for just this tour. You're not sort of living out of each other's pockets a day-to-day existence that you would in a normal symphony orchestra. So it must be rather a different feeling to it.
I think that's one of the things, of course, that makes the orchestra special, is the enormous diversity of countries we come from, cultural exchange, languages, Austausch, sorry, I live in Germany, so the German words come sometimes quicker.
When did you move to Germany?
I moved to Germany actually when I got the COE job, because my husband is German, and so I moved to Germany, and I've moved around inside Germany. But one thing that I do like about Germany is it is, of course, a country where there is incredible music making. There are so many opera houses and symphony orchestras and chamber music ensembles and little churches with concerts and heritage of music, of course, Germany, greater Germany in its history.
Well, here we are at the 40th anniversary of the COE's foundation. I'm just wondering, what are the things that you would like to be doing with the orchestra in the future? Are there particular pieces you'd like to play or places you'd like to go?
I'd like to go to Stockholm with the orchestra, Stockholm, because I've never been there myself, and that's a bit selfish wish. But also we have many Swedes in the orchestra. I don't think we've ever played there. I think I'm correct in saying that. So I think it would be beautiful if we could go there as part of a tour. I actually am happy to travel anywhere, because I think it's always an education. And it's just beautiful because music overrides languages. It doesn't matter which language you speak. You can reach people with music just from the heart. And personally, what would I like to still play? I would like to play Swan of Tunella again with COE because it's such a fantastic orchestra and a really exquisite tone poem. Or even a dream would be to record it with the orchestra, but that's just as a cor anglais player. And also because I teach this regularly to my students and they come into the room and they say, oh, I don't know where to begin. This is two sides long of music. This is a huge slow solo and I've never played it and I don't know what's happening in it. And it's often asked for in auditions. So I think it would be nice to play this piece, but it's just a private personal wish to do that.
This is Rachel playing oboe in the last movement of Sibelius' Sixth Symphony at the Helsinki Festival in 1998 with Paavo Berglund conducting COE on the Finlandia label. Join me, Simon Mundy, next time for another chapter of Chamber Orchestra of Europe's story.